Good morning, saints. For a moment, we thought we were going old school this morning with our Bibles, but, well, thank God, apparently the system might be up again. But if that is not the case, then we praise the Lord. Amen. We're still grateful to be here. Once again, He is good all the time. Amen. And I can think of countless churches around the world that do not have the technology that you and I enjoy in this place, in this great nation of ours, amen. So, and you know, they don't even have instruments, and if they do, they have makeshift instruments, really, you know. I've seen these things they make out of plastic buckets. And they'll put a stick, like a broomstick, and then they'll attach a string or two, and then they'll go at it and praise the Lord with that. Can you believe it? You know, I've seen it with my own eyes, and people, the way they play it, it's got to be anointing, I think. So, but praise the Lord that we have what we have at our disposal. He is good, and He is good all the time. So welcome once again to church. And I'm really glad to have my folks here with me this morning, Mr. and Mrs. Solorzano. They're with us this morning. They're sitting in the back there, but they're with us. Amen. If y'all could please raise your hands. Levanten su manito ahí atrás. Ahí están. Mire, there they are. And Mr. Solorzano had an experience with Jesus here last week, you know. And talk about supernatural. I'll see if the Lord will lead me with His permission, of course, you know. I'll see if the Lord will allow me to talk about it. But I believe the Lord wants to do something here with us, amen, with the church, with the congregation, in our lives, amen, because He is still God. He is still sitting upon the throne, and Jesus still reigns, amen, amen. So let's go to the Word this morning, the book of Joshua this morning, Joshua chapter 1. And I'm sure this is a very familiar story to many of us. If not, we will be going through it this morning. And once again, thank God for the visitors as well. We got some visitors in the back there. Amen. So welcome. I think they've been here before. If not, it's good to see you all again. Amen. Good, good. Then everybody else belongs. Amen. We're here, part of the family. And the visitors can be part of the family as well this morning. Amen. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. And this is the story of Joshua. He's about to undertake a great assignment from the Lord. And we can find ourselves in a similar situation. In fact, I believe we're finding ourselves in a situation like this, in which the Lord is going to do something in our lives and in our church as well. Amen. And in our community. Amen. So Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Amen. Voy a estar leyendo de Josué 1, versículos 1 al 9. So just so they know where we at this morning. Amen. Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you." What an awesome promise, amen? This is from God Himself, from His lips, church. Not through a messenger, not a prophet, which would have been good, amen, as well. A prophet speaking on God's behalf is like God speaking Himself, amen? Not from a pastor, no, from God, the Lord Himself. Verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let's go to another scripture this morning, 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Amen. This is Paul speaking to young Timothy, the pastor who's believed to be or to have been one of the best pastors in the New Testament era. Timothy 2, 1, that's the second epistle. It says, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. And we'll go back to that scripture again, amen, as we go through the message this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just want to thank you this morning for this wonderful day, Lord. Thank you, Father, for life. Thank you, God, for the opportunity we have to be able to come together and be able to worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for our freedom, Lord Father. Thank you, Father, because this morning we are just enjoying that freedom. And Father, as much as possible, Father, because we do realize that things change. And although we trust in you, although we pray for our great nation to continue, Father, just blessing others around the world through the mission field, Father, we know things can change, God. We do have a constitution, and we praise you for that, but things can change overnight, Lord. So we pray that you would help us, Father, to continue enjoying these freedoms and just to take advantage of the opportunities you give us on a daily basis to praise you, to worship you. In Jesus' mighty name, speak to us this morning. Amen, 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 church. Glory be to God. So this morning, this book of Joshua tells us about the time when Moses had recently passed away. In fact, Deuteronomy 34, verse 8, talks about the time when the people of Israel mourned for Moses on the place of Moab for 30 days, says the Bible here, until the customary period of mourning was over. Israel was going through a time of change. Israel was going through a very different situation to the one they were accustomed to. And so Moses had to go on with the Lord. He went on to be with God. Now, Moses could have seen the promised land, but as some of us probably have read, and I'm sure the majority of us have read the story of Moses, Moses had disobeyed the Lord when he hit the rock instead of speaking to it. Back in the first few books, either Exodus or one of those books in the Old Testament, he had disobeyed God, and because of that, he was not able to go into the promised land. In fact, the Lord was merciful enough to let him take a peek of the promised land. He let him look into the promised land, but he says, you are not going to lead this people into the promised land. Joshua will do it. Joshua will be taking your place. And so Moses is called to God's presence. The Bible says he lived up to 120 years of age. You know, he was very blessed, and he could still see. The Bible says, you know, his eyesight was still sharp. That's amazing, you know, what this fellow was able to do. And so the Lord calls him to be home. And then Israel begins a period of mourning, a period of change, a period in which they are wondering what's next, wondering what the Lord is going to do next. And Joshua is not the exception. I'm sure, you know, they're crying and they're weeping and they're feeling sad and just remembering the battles that they had fought together, the times they had spent together, remembering Moses' advice and his words, seeing the hand of God work miracles through them, especially when they left Egypt with Moses as the leader. Moses, in fact, church, had led them for approximately 40 years. And so it's understandable, the time of grief, the time of sorrow, and the time of pain they were going through. They were going through a time of change and adjustment. And church, time, you know, that change and adjustment can be very uncomfortable. Amen. Christians, us, we go through seasons of change. We go through times of change, church. Changes in the family. Maybe we lose a loved one. Maybe a loved one moves out when our kids eventually move out and go off to college or get married, you know. And that's change that comes to the family. You know, it's hard to deal with at first, you know, because we as human beings do not like change. We like to be in, you know, in a place and a state of mind that's stable. We tend to follow stability, you know. Or there could be changes in the job place. You know, you could either be lose a job, perhaps, or for one reason or another, something happens in the place of employment. You know, change comes that way. Change in our lives in general. But like we said earlier, it could be uncomfortable and unwanted. And you know, Joshua and Israel knew that at that very moment. They felt very, very awkward. You know, what are we going to do now? What's going to happen now? God had promised the land that's ahead of us across the river. The Lord promised that he was going to give us that. But what's going to happen next? You know, in the midst of that change, church, in the midst of chaos, perhaps, because sometimes change can bring chaos and sometimes can bring confusion. Amen? Wouldn't you agree? That's happened in my life. I know you've been through things like those in the past. And so Joshua and Israel knew that. But church, in the middle of that time of change and adjustment, God speaks to Joshua. The Lord shows up. And when he spoke to Joshua in these verses, God has something to say to him about the situation that he is currently in at that very moment. You know, that tells us a lot, church, saints, about God's personality, about how God is, that he's well aware of what you are going through. Nothing takes God by surprise. You know, when I was little, and I'm sure some baby Christians, I want to say some baby Christians, you know, people who have just recently converted might think that the devil knows it all like God does, you know. And the devil is God's counterpart in the sense that, you know, he's evil and he is as powerful as the Lord is, and he is well aware of what is going on in every place at every single minute. You know, nothing could be farther from the truth, church, because the devil is a created being. God is not. God is omniscient in the sense that he knows it all. He is well aware. The devil doesn't. God knows what's going on through your mind at this very moment. God knows your heart. He knows me very well. He knows things about me that I'm not even aware of. Isn't God wonderful, church? God knows everything about our congregation, about Family Worship Center. The devil doesn't. Of course, you know, he is very limited. God is unlimited in that sense. So God had something to say about the situation at that very moment. And when God speaks to Joshua, what he tells him, you know, in a few words is that, hey, I'm still here, Joshua. I haven't gone anywhere. God tells us the same thing, you know, and your family. Hey, I am still here. I haven't gone anywhere. Now, you might try to push me out of your life. You might try to push me out of your household. You might try to push me out of your churches, which is happening these days. Amen. Sadly, unfortunately, there are churches that are just pushing God out of their places of worship. They are pushing the Holy Spirit out of their places of worship. They're saying, Holy Spirit, Lord, we do not want you in this place. We're going to do things our way. But the Lord tells Joshua, I'm still here, Joshua. I haven't gone anywhere. And guess what, Joshua? I will show you what to do. I will tell you exactly what you need to do. That is what God is like, Lord, church, this morning. And something else that the Lord tells Joshua in a few words. I haven't gone anywhere. I will show you what to do. And I will help you. I'm going to be with you all along the way. I'm going to back you up. I'm going to be here on your side, behind you. I'll be in front of you. I'll be all around you. I'll surround you with my mercies. That is the Lord, church. That is God. And his words to Joshua at that very moment. Oh, I can just imagine what Joshua felt like at that moment, you know. Whoa, what words of encouragement, church. The Lord speaking to you. The Lord God, the Creator, our Savior. God tells them, yeah, it is true. Moses is dead now. He tells them, Moses has died. He's gone on to be with me. The situation has changed. But now, Joshua, arise, he says, arise, says another version, because this New Living Translation, I don't believe it says that, but there's another version that says, arise, Joshua, get up. When the Lord tells Joshua to arise, according to the New American Standard Bible, we can find that. The King James Version reads, now therefore arise. He's telling Joshua, stand up, Joshua. Evidently, Joshua had been, I don't know, probably lying on the ground in sorrow and grief, probably just maybe wearing sackcloth, which is something they used to do back then in order to show grief. And they would throw ashes upon themselves too as a way to show sorrow and sadness. And so the Lord tells him, you need to get up, Joshua. You need to stand up and then cross the Jordan or pass through it. Cross this Jordan, the New American Standard Bible reads. And the English Standard Version says, go over this Jordan. This river, you see, Joshua, go over it. Joshua had to cross the river in order to enter the promised land. And you know, he had to set an example for others to see, an example for others to follow. You know, sometimes we need to arise, church, in our families, in our place of employment. We need to stand up. We need to stand up for Jesus. We need to arise for our Lord of Lord and Savior. Amen. We need others to see the light of Jesus in us. Church, and when I mean stand up, we need to stand and let them know through our lives. We need to let them know, if possible, with words. You know, I realize many of us are kind of shy, you know, starting with myself when it comes to witnessing. But, you know, I read the scripture and I just feel compelled to be able to stand up for Jesus in the workplace, in the store, wherever we find ourselves, church, because there will be someone, there will be a soul that needs to hear from the Lord. There is someone who's going through a difficult situation, a time of change, church. So when change comes our way, when change comes your family's way, stand up for Jesus. You know, there is a song like you know the stories that I've shared in the past. There is a song, an old song that I learned when I was a kid in Nicaragua. And when I came here to the States, I was like, whoa, they know the song here too. Good thing they taught them the song. And the song goes, and I'm sure you've heard it. We sang it here before. It says, stand up for Jesus.
You sold yourself the cross, lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. It's called stand up for Jesus, church. And that's something we need to do when change comes our way. Amen. We need to arise and let others see Jesus in us. Joshua exactly did that. He did that when he stood up and then began to cross the river. Now, the promise of God to Joshua, we find that in verses 2 through 5. Joshua, remember, had to stand up. He had to get up from where he was at and cross the river in order to lead Jordan into that promised land. The promised land would be his. And we're talking about a vast tract of land, church. According to verse 4, it gives us the description, what the land was like. Some scholars believe it was probably 300,000 square miles, you know, something like that. It was a huge piece of land that the Lord was about to give them. But the thing about that promised land, church, is that it was filled with hostile forces. It was filled with enemy nations, nations that had nothing to do with the Lord, that wanted nothing from God. They had heard about God. Yes, yes. You know, they had heard about Jesus. That goes to show us, church, that everyone around the world, I want to say almost everyone, saints, has had a chance to hear about Jesus. If not, that is where we come in and we stand up and we show them who Jesus is. But I'm saying that everyone, I want to say everyone, might be mistaken, you know, that's where y'all come in. That's where we come in, amen, as missionaries. But I want to say everyone has had the chance to hear about the saving grace of God. Now these days through Facebook, YouTube, the internet, even those nations that are close to the gospel, the Muslim nations, you know, where people who convert to Christ, and I've heard testimonies, saints firsthand, of saints who have been stoned to death. People who have lost their loved ones because they've given their life to Christ. They've been disowned. They've been kicked out of their homes. You know, young people, teenagers, even children, kicked out on the streets for the fact of coming to Christ. And that's because they've heard the gospel through the internet or on Facebook or on any of those social media, you know. And so the land was filled with hostile forces, enemy nations that wanted nothing to do from the Lord. In fact, in verse 4, it says, including all the land of the Hittites. It mentions the Hittites for a reason, church, in verse 4. It says the land was filled with Hittites. And when they mentioned that word, I'm sure Joshua was like, uh-oh, are you serious, Lord? It is filled with the Hittites? Whoa. You know, the thing about the Hittites is that they were descended from Heth, the son of Canaan. He was a great-grandson of Noah, according to Genesis 10:15. And scholars believe that the Hittites were a great warlike people that occupied the mountain countries of South Canaan. In fact, there's another scholar that says that the name Hittite is used here of all the nations of Canaan. Kind of like saying, you know, we are Floridians here. Yeah, yeah, right, you know. And then we have our fellow Cajuns in Louisiana. Right, right. But we're all Americans, amen. And when they say Americans, you know, they're either talking about Cajuns or talking about our brothers from up north, amen. So that would be the comparison today of that word Hittite, talking about all the inhabitants of that land out there in Canaan. And the thing about those people is that they practice horrible things such as child sacrifice. Yes, they had this awful demon god whom they call Moloch, and they would sacrifice children to them. They would heat up the idol, and the idol had his extended arms,
and once it would get really piping hot, they would place children on top of the idol's arms and burn the infant to death, you know. How horrible is that? Talk about children's sacrifice, you know, as old as 5 or 6 years of age. No, 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 that was horrible. And they practiced incest and adultery and temple prostitution and various other horrible acts, church, that I'm not going to mention this morning, you know, because they are so horrible that these days, you know, from what I've read online, you can find them on the internet. You know, people still practicing those things. And so these nations terrorize their own inhabitants. In fact, the name Heth, where they descended, the Hittites, means terror or fear. So these people were ancient terrorists, and they instill fear in those who dare to come unto their land. You know, much less the inhabitants, their own people. And so it was not going to be an easy task. In fact, the land was also filled with giants. You know, I remember back then in my freshman year in college at LSU, you know, Shaquille O'Neal was still in his second or third semester, I believe. And in the quad, and in the LSU quad, you could see him from one end to the other. He was probably 7 feet back then. He was a giant. I mean, that guy was a giant. But these giants mentioned, church, in this book, we'll read about that later on. In the book of Joshua, they were not 7 feet tall. They're believed to have been 9 feet tall, probably up to 13 feet tall. You know, Goliath was one of them. He was a descendant of these folks. Goliath. And maybe ahead we'll get into that in the sermons ahead, God willing. The thing is that the land was filled with awful giants who feared no one nor nothing. It was not going to be an easy task, church. But you know, God promised to be with him. The Lord is telling us this morning, church, that we must stand up and go over the Jordan. We must stand up and cross whatever obstacle we're facing in our families at this very moment or in our lives. Whatever obstacles we're facing in our places of employment or in our community, we must pray for our nation, church. There are so many obstacles that are just coming to the churches, and that we must stand for Jesus and go into the land that the Lord is promising to give us. We must arise. You see, the word arise also means become more powerful. You and I can become even stronger. We can become more powerful and do what God is commanding us to do at this very moment. But the question is, what is God's mission for our lives? What is God's mission for your life? What is God calling you to do this morning? What is the Lord calling you this morning to achieve and accomplish? What is that promised land that the Lord has promised to give you at this very moment, church? Just remember, it could be praying for someone's salvation. You know, last week we witnessed the salvation of my papa, my father-in-law. My mama had been praying for him for years, and the family too, and the church down in Guatemala had been praying for him for so many years. And last week, church, he was sitting right there, and when they made the invitation to the altar, he says, you know, that at one time he felt this heat come all over him, like a warmth, you know, and he began to sweat. He broke out in a sweat, and y'all know how cold it is in here, you know. I like it like that. It's cold, and he began to sweat, and he was like, this is strange, you know, what's going on at this very moment, you know. And then all of a sudden he felt something push him out of the aisle, and he turns back and he looks at the sister sitting not right behind him, but in like a 45 degree angle, church. And she's praying, and probably praying and interceding. I know that. She's praying, minding her own business. So he closes his eyes again. And then, church, he feels another show, a gently show out of the
aisle. The next thing he knows, he's right there standing next to me, church, as we're praying for others' needs. And when I open my eyes, he's there. And I just asked him, what can I do for you, Papa? I said, what can I? And he's like, I want him. I want him. God, God, God. He says, he got saved, church. He got saved. Tears in his eyes. Amen. I could tell it was so sincere. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, does it have to happen like that? No, church, no, no. It's not emotional. I know it's not. You know, we're saved whether you feel like it or not. Whether you woke up this morning and you were like, I don't feel saved, it doesn't work like that. You're either saved or not. Amen. It is by faith. It is by grace. Whether you're feeling it or whether you're not feeling anything. Amen. But sometimes I believe God chooses to do things like those in order to say, hey, I am still here, and you need to believe in me. Maybe some of us went through a situation like that. Maybe some of us didn't, but we are saved, and I praise God for that, church. Amen. So do we need to pray for someone who needs to get saved? Maybe we need to pray for someone who's gone wayward, and we need him to come back to the Lord. We need that dear sister to come back to Jesus. We need her to have another encounter with the living God. Maybe someone needs healing. Maybe you need to pray for that healing and ask God until that very moment, that very minute. Amen. God, it's still healing. Amen. It's in his sovereignty. You know, and sometimes God is not going to heal. I understand that. We don't preach that type of gospel here in this church, that health and wealth gospel, you know, believe it and claim, name and claim it. We don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that because, you know, it's been abused. But in spite of those abuses, God is still moving, church. And we can still pray for healing. We've seen it here, right, saints? Over and over in this very altar. Amen to God. Amen for that. You know, is God calling you to serve here? Is that the Jordan you need to cross? Is that the obstacle that you need to overcome? Find something to do in this place and you have no idea what to do. Let me tell you something this morning, saints. There is plenty to do in this place. There is so much we need to do, especially during these times. Amen. Jesus said it himself, pray for workers. Pray for workers because the vineyard, you know, the harvest, he says, is plentiful. And there are few workers. Amen. That's why I believe, you know, that there is no, and I was speaking with Pastor Bruce, there's no such thing as retirement. You know that. not retiring from the church. There's no such thing as retiring from the things of God because you always end up doing something for the Lord, whether you retire or not. Amen. What is it that the Lord is calling us to do this morning? What is it that God is calling us to do as a church in Indiantown, in this community? You know, I think it is no coincidence that the Lord built this place up, amen, from the ground up. And I've heard so many awesome testimonies how this place started out. In fact, I think there used to be a shack back in there, a little cabin back in that area. From, I don't know, 67 years ago, I think Mr. Douglas used to talk about that, Mr. and Mrs. Douglas. And so it was all empty or wooded, you know. But God chose to do something in this place, but it was not for coincidence, church. No, no. God doesn't work like that. There's no such thing as luck, amen, in the things of the Lord. No thing with that. It's either the Lord or not. And so what is it that the Lord is calling us to do here? Whatever it is this morning, you know what it is. And if you don't, God, if you don't know it, God will reveal it to you. Amen. Just like he spoke to Joshua. If you don't know it yet, seek the will of God. We'll help you seek it. We'll help you find what the Lord has for your life. Amen. And so, but let me tell you that whatever it is, church, is not going to be an easy task. It's not gonna be easy. The Lord never said it was gonna be easy to follow him. In fact, he says, whoever wants to follow me, he or she needs to take up his cross and follow me. And you know what that implies? And it implies burden. It implies an extra weight. It implies an effort. It implies strength. Amen. It implies energy. It implies so much to follow Jesus. But don't despair, please. No, no, no. Don't take off running. Please, please, please. Because Jesus said that his burden is light and it is so easy to carry. His yoke, that is. It is so easy to carry. And we could learn so much from him. Amen. Who is, you know, the peace that comes from him. We can learn so much from our master by carrying that cross, whom in the end will help us carry it. It's not going to be an easy task, church, let me tell you, because the land is going to be filled with Hittites. The land is going to be filled with Canaanites. And I'm not talking about the unsaved. No, no, no. I'm talking about those forces, spiritual forces that try to stop us from doing what is right. Have you ever wondered, church, why they're calling evil good these days? Because it's the easy thing to do. It's the easy thing to say, call those things evil good. Call them good. Oh, yeah, they're okay. It is so much easier to go with the current, amen, than go against the current. But God is calling people to undertake a not-so-easy task and go against the current these days. Go against the flow. Even if it makes you unpopular, even if people mocks you, even if people makes fun of us for our faith, amen, we're going to be persecuted to an extent. Even if we have to lay down our lives for the cause of the gospel, these Hittites, remember, these terrorists, they're going to try to terrorize us. They're going to try to instill fear in us. They're going to try to convince you, hey, you cannot do it. No, you can't pray. God does not listen to your prayers. You are not good enough. That is something that my papa had to go through for many months, you know, before getting saved. Hey, you're not worthy. You're too dirty. You've done too much this. You've done too much of that. God is not going to accept you. How can you go up to an altar that is holy in your current condition? Talk about fear, right, church? Talk about the terror that the enemy tries to instill in us, amen? But the Bible says that Paul tells young Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, young Timothy, a young pastor, probably in his early 20s, something he was still a teenager. You know, regardless of his age, he was young and he was inexperienced, you know. And others thought that because he was young, he knew nothing. He was good for nothing. He couldn't do anything in the church. But Paul tells him, Timothy, do not let anyone despise you because of your youth. Don't let anyone despise us because of current condition that you find yourself in. Don't let the devil despise you, church, because of the changes you're undergoing at this very moment. You know, don't matter how confusing or how uncertain they can seem, church, because Paul tells Timothy, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. We are not to be fearful, church. Fear has no place in the life of a believer. Trust me. You know, I know what I'm talking about. Had it be for fear, I would not be here at this very moment, you know, preaching to the church of God. Amen. At this very moment, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, and so can you. I always remember my good friend Stovall, who we went to school together. We went to school together, you know, back in Baton Rouge, and the Lord saved him. And boy, I tell you, the Lord did something mighty in my friend and changed him overnight. And so when we were students at LSU, he would stand up on a bench and preach the gospel out there in Free Speech Alley, I remember. And I was kind of like his sidekick, you know, just handing out tracts. And sometimes, you know, people would just toss them back to me on my face. Ha, take that, you know. That felt really awful, you know. But my friend would preach up on that bench, you know, the gospel of salvation. And he had become a missionary to Peru, a short-term missionary. And he had learned to speak Spanish. My friend, I'm talking about an English-speaking, you know, fellow born here, born in Baton Rouge. And so he began to speak Spanish. And one day, I invited him to the church where I was going to at the time. It was a Spanish-speaking congregation. I asked my pastor, "Pastor, can he come and preach?" And he said, "Yeah, let him come and preach. We want to hear the message from the Lord." And that day, my friend came. It was on a Sunday morning. I'll never forget that. And he stood behind that pulpit and with his broken Spanish began to preach the gospel, church. And guess what? The Spirit fell that morning on the congregation. And so many people went forward to the altar accepting Jesus. And I'm talking about Hondurans, Salvadorans, mostly Central Americans and Mexicans. None of them knew, at least the majority didn't know a word of English. And they all went forward after they heard what the Lord had said through my friend Stovall that very morning. And when I was there, I was so broken, church, and I was so convicted. And I told God, "God, I want to do what he's doing, not in Spanish, but I want to do it in English as well. Please, God, take the fear away from me." That's what I'm saying, church, that I know what I'm talking about this morning. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear. Paul tells Timothy, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Amen? Self-discipline. God will be with us. God will be with you, my sister. God will be with you, my dear brother, my friend. He is promising to be with you all the way. All the way. Amen? He is with us. That's why he's called Emmanuel, God with us. That's why he sent his son, Jesus. God sent his son. We sing usually, remember? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow because he sent his son to be with us. And if God is with us, church, come on. Who can be against us? Amen. We're unstoppable in the spirit. Amen. We're unstoppable, church. That's why the church, it is the oldest. I want to say the oldest, if I could call this organization, the oldest body of living body of believers, you know, almost 2,000 years old. And the devil, nor governments, nor dictators, not communism, not socialism, because I know what I'm talking about, has been able to stop the progress of the gospel, has not been able to stand against Jesus. Amen. But God tells Joshua some conditions. He says, "Joshua, this is what you're going to need to do. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong, Joshua. Be firm. Be courageous. Be confident, Joshua, because I'm speaking to you. And be courageous." In other words, be brave, be bold. In another verse, I think verse 7, he says, "Be very, very." You know, that means what it means, right? It means, like, Bobby can tell you this. When we go to Nicaragua, and I think Brother Craig remembers that, when we've been down to Nicaragua on the mission, one of the first things you need to say is, "Cristo te ama." Jesus loves you. And Bobby, "Y yo te amo mucho, mucho, mucho." And I love you very much. That's what it means. So very means exceedingly, in abundance. That's what it means. Just like when you tell someone, "I love you very much," whether in Spanish or in English, you're saying, "I love you exceedingly, up to abundance. I love you abundantly." And so God tells Joshua, "Joshua, you need to be abundantly courageous. You need to be abundantly brave, Joshua, because I'm calling you to do something that will probably make you fearful, but I will be with you." God is calling us this morning as well, church, to be strong and courageous in the face of change, in the face of the different situations that we are going through at this very moment, and also as a body of believers, amen? We're going through change at this moment, amen? It feels a little different, and y'all know what I'm talking about. It feels a little awkward, but God is with us, church. He is with us, amen? And he is calling us to be very strong and courageous. That is why Paul, going back to young Timothy, we read that scripture in the beginning. Paul, he was in prison. He was in chains. He was not in a 5-star hotel. He was in a dungeon, damn, dark. Probably lonely at times, but the majority of times chained to 2 guards on each side according to the custom back then. And so Paul was probably sick, probably not feeling well. He was losing his eyesight because he needed a secretary, or, you know, if you will, who would write the letters on his behalf and send them off to the different churches. And this letter was not the exception, church. And he tells Timothy, "Timothy, my dear son, even though I'm in this situation, I'm going to tell you the following, Timothy, and I know what I'm talking about. Trust me, because the Lord is with me." And he goes on to say, "Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. Be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus." He also tells the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, be ready." Be ready, the Lord says. We must be strong, or grow stronger, as another version reads. We need to grow in strength, church. How do we do that? We do it through grace, through the grace of Christ. That's how we're able to face change. That's how we're able to cross the Jordan. That's how we're able to face the Hittites and the Canaanites that are awaiting our arrival, church. We must grow in through grace, but also, church, through faith. We grow in faith as well. Let your faith grow this morning. That is why it's important to come to church on a frequent basis, because when we do that, church, not only we grow in grace, but also our faith becomes stronger. You know, there's something that moves within you, and you're like, "I can do things in Christ who gives me the strength and who also increases my faith." Peter told Jesus, "Jesus, help my faith, increase my faith." Remember, church, we're all given a measure of faith this morning as a mustard seed. That little bit of faith can do wonderful things, can do mighty things for God. Amen. You can tell a mountain, "Just throw yourself into the sea in the name of Jesus," and that will happen according to our master. But be on guard, it says. We need to be on guard. We need to be strong. Grow strong in the faith. Be firm in the grace. Be confident. So, church, we can be a blessing to others that are not so strong. Or amen. You know, our children need strong parents these days. And they need to see a strong faith in us, folks. They need to see a strong grace flowing through us, especially these days in which, you know, they're so attracted to social media and all that garbage that you can find online on the internet. It's horrible. Wives need to be strong for their husbands. That's an example back in there in that corner. She was strong all these years. She could have said, "You know what? You don't let me go to church. I'm going to leave you. Bye-bye." And I've heard of cases like that too, you know. You don't let me go to church. You don't let me pray. I need to find me a holy husband. Of course, the Bible doesn't say that. But she stood her ground. She had faith. And her faith grew stronger each day, church. We need husbands that are strong in the Lord, strong in their faith for their wives. You know that God is also calling us to be brave and courageous these days? Brave and courageous. Remember, we're going to be facing terror. We're going to be facing fear. And we must be brave and courageous wherever we go. Mention the name of Jesus the next time you find yourself out in a public place. Just wait for that reaction. See what people see, have to say and think. I've done it, and I tell you, it's not funny. But then other times I hear, yeah, praise God, hallelujah, Jesus. Amen to that. Jesus is King. Jesus is Lord. Jesus saves. But God is calling us to be brave and bold during times of change. During these times, Paul tells the church in 1 Thessalonians 5 that they were well aware of the times and seasons, that Jesus was about to come back soon. You and I must be aware of the seasons as well, church. Amen? We must be aware that they're calling evil good these days, and they're calling good evil. It's upside down in the world, not in our nation only, but throughout the world. But we need to stand up and be brave. You know, when the disciples were being persecuted, the Bible says that Peter and John, through the power of the Spirit, you know, and through Jesus' name, they were able to heal a lame man. Remember, and that caused a commotion in the first chapters of the book of Acts. And they were brought before the council. Hey, prophecy being fulfilled. Because Jesus said, you know, you'll be standing before rulers. You'll be standing before judges. But worry not. The Spirit will give you what to say. You ever wonder, what do I have to say? What can I say? God will give us what to say. And when they went back to the home church where they were meeting, they didn't go back complaining, church. The Bible says that they told them what had happened. And so they prayed at that very moment. But what did they pray for? Acts 4, 29 through 31. It says, and now, O Lord, hear their threats. They're threatening us, Jesus. They're saying if we keep preaching the word, we're going to be persecuted. And we're probably going to be, killed. So they said, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness. Give us great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And the Bible says, church, that after that prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. God had answered their prayers. It says, then they preached the word of God with boldness, whether people liked it or not. They preached it with boldness. Don't worry about whether you're going to offend someone. You will offend people. We will offend people, not with harsh words. No. I'm not saying that we need to use harsh words and proper stuff, you know, obscenity. No. We don't need, or profanity. We don't need to use none of that. No need, no place in the life of a Christian. But when the truth is being told, it will upset. It will ruffle feathers. You're going to be stepping on people's toes, and you're going to be making folks uncomfortable, because the truth will set us free, church. But we need boldness to do that. We need to be brave in this day and age in which basically people are going with the flow instead of going against the current, church. We need to do that. We need, like Joshua was told, obey and do not deviate from the word, verses 7 through 8. The Lord is telling him the conditions. This is what you need to do, Joshua. Obey what you've heard and do not turn from it. According to the ESV, he had to carefully obey and do what the Lord was asking him to do. You and I need to do things the way the Lord would do them. Amen. We need to do things the way God is asking us to do them, especially when things seem different in our life, in our families, the way things might seem different in the church. You know, the Bible says that James tells the churches in James 1:22, and reading from the New King James Version, which is a very popular version, it says, don't be doers of the word, be doers of the word, and not hearers only. What you're hearing this morning, church, let's put it into action. As soon as we go out those doors, it says also, but don't listen to God. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Do everything that the word says, church, whether we like it or not, whether it makes us feel uncomfortable or not. Do it, church. Joshua could not deviate from the commandments, or he could not turn from it. You and I have to do the same thing these days. We must not turn from the Lord or from his word. In fact, Proverbs 3, verse 1 says, my child, never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commands in your heart. Store them in your hearts, church. And don't forget what the Lord is telling us to do. What the Lord's commands are this morning. Meditate on the word. Joshua had to meditate on that word. And by the word meditate, it means he had to dig into it. Dig into the word. Meditate in this sense means to think, to reflect, to speak. Joshua is ordered to meditate on the word, church. And you and I are expected to do the same thing, because if we do that, the Bible says in Proverbs 3:1, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. What an awesome promise from the Lord, amen? A satisfying life in Christ Jesus. Wrapping things up, God tells Joshua, which, you know, he's about to get up and tell the people what has just taken place. You know, the revelation he's received from God. He tells them, Joshua, don't forget this. I will be with you. I will be with you wherever you go. Do not be afraid or discouraged, Joshua. Do not tremble. Don't let fear make you, you know, feel dread. And don't be discouraged. Do not be broken. Do not be dismayed, because the enemy is going to try to do that. As we face the promised land, as we're about to go into our promised land, church, the enemy is going to try his best to break us, and he's going to try his best to make us feel dismayed and despair, like another version reads. But just like God was with Joshua, and he was all through the book of Joshua, it's an awesome book, by the way, he has promised to be with us. Jesus said it in Matthew 28:20. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Another version reads, to the end of the world. But it basically means that, church, to the time when the church gets lifted up and goes on to be with Jesus, up until that very minute, up until that very second, up until that very moment in which you feel like giving up, the Lord is going to be with you. The Lord is going to be with each and every one of us up until the end of the age. He has promised us that. But you know what? We need to take God at his word, and we need to believe in his promises, especially as a church. You know, the name Joshua has a very special meaning, and I'm wrapping this up. It means Savior. Yes. And Joshua is a type of Jesus Christ. Just like Joshua led Israel into the promised land, we have our own Joshua, and in fact, greater than Joshua here in this place. When Jesus walked among the Pharisees, when Jesus walked in this world, church, he says, someone greater than Abraham is here at this very moment. Someone greater than the prophets is here at this very moment. He was more than a prophet. He was more than a patriarch. He was more than the disciples. He was Jesus himself. And he was even more than Joshua. And he is here at this very moment. And he is waiting for us to follow his lead, church. Are we willing to stand up? Are we willing to cast all fear aside? Are we willing to cast all, you know, whatever it's been coming our way, change or anything that's we're going through, facing? Are we willing to do that and follow Jesus as our leader. Church, it's the best decision that you and I can make. Follow Jesus. In fact, if you've never received Jesus in your life, you can receive him this morning at this very moment. Let's all stand, church, and let's have a moment of prayer and invitation. God is here. Joshua, a savior. Joshua, a leader. Joshua, the one who's going to show us the way. And all we need to do is follow. All we need to do is walk behind our Lord. Let him lead. Let him lead you through the valley, church. Let him lead you through the mountain. Let him lead you through the wilderness. He is here at this very moment. So while our sister plays a hymn of invitation, I'm going to ask you to please close our eyes for a moment. Let's just meditate and think and reflect on what the Lord has brought to us this morning. If you have not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave this place without Jesus in your life. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one can come to the Father but through me. He is the only way to salvation, the Bible says. He is the only way to the Father. If we try to go to the Father by any other means, we're like that thief, the Bible says, that jumps over the fence and doesn't go through the door. And we don't have to do that. We can go through the door himself, Jesus Christ, while that door is open. You know, I think about the Ark of Noah, and I think about the church this morning being like the Ark of Noah, and that door being wide open, and Noah extending that invitation for people to come in, and people are just mocking and laughing at him, saying, rain, what is rain? I never seen rain before. Rain from the sky. And people are just laughing and thinking they're having the time of their lives, mocking an elderly man, full of the Lord, yes, full of the Spirit. And that invitation was being extended while that door was open. Until that door was shut and the rain came down and it was too late. Jesus is here and he is the door, church, friend. And he's extending the invitation to come to him this morning. Right there where you are in your seat with your eyes closed, you can ask him to come into your life. The Bible says that we all have sinned and we have fallen from the grace of God. Romans 3:23. And in Romans 6, it says that the wages of sin, the payment of our rebelliousness, the result of our rebellion and disobedience to God is death, eternal death in hellfire. Jesus talked about hellfire. It is real. And it's something that I tell you, church, friend, still makes me uncomfortable, but it's in the Bible and I have to preach it. No need to go to a place like that because the Lord Jesus is here. And he wants to welcome you into his open arms. Won't you receive him this morning? Won't you tell our dear Lord, Lord, forgive my sins. Forgive my rebelliousness. I'm sorry, Jesus, for disobeying. Tell him you're so tired of running away from him. And just tell him, Jesus, I receive you in my life, in my heart. Forgive my sins. write down my name in the book of life. If you need to come back to Jesus, you can say that prayer as well. You need to rededicate your life to Jesus. It's not too late this morning. There's still time, a few more minutes. It's God's timing. And in God's timing, you've been present in this place this morning. Rededicate your life to the Lord. If there is something in your heart that's heavy, you need prayer for something, you need healing, anything you need this morning, you're more than welcome to come forward. And myself, Brother Craig, Minister Lorenzo is here too to pray with you. We're going to pray with you. Anything that's in your heart at this very moment, whatever the need is, God knows it. Why not bring it to the foot of the cross this morning? The altar is open. My good friend used to say that the altar is God's operating table. This is where God operates on our hearts. This is where God touches our souls. This is where God renews us and restores us. This is where God fills us with the Spirit. Won't you come forward this morning, church? Won't you come forward? Pray for a loved one. Intercede on behalf of your neighbor. Pray for your neighborhood. Won't you come forward this morning, church, and pray for our community. Our community desperately needs God. Our nation needs God. Our leaders need God. Our children need God. Our school systems need God. We have kicked them out of schools. And yet we wonder why we're building more and more prisons. Won't we intercede for them this morning? You're more than welcome to come forward and pray. We'll pray with you. The altar is open. Yes, Holy Spirit. Move, Holy Spirit of God. We give you the freedom this morning, Holy Spirit. We give you the space and the room to move however you want to do, God, in Jesus' name. Move in our hearts. Move in our lives, Lord God. Help us. Help us as a body of believers as we undergo change, as we face a different situation, Father. Father, you're going to lead us all the way to the end, Lord Father. You're going to lead us, Father, through thick and thin, Lord God. You'll see us through it, Lord Father. And I just pray for the different, all the families in this place, Father, for the things that they're going through at home, at work, in their families, Father, with their children. With their children's schools, Father, with our community, Father God. We love this place. We love our community, Father God. But we pray, Father, that you would do something new in the name of mighty Jesus. Just like you promised to be with Joshua. Be with us, Father. Be with us all the way to the end, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.